Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Gangish of the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to Ignite, the demand generation series for the B2B marketer. Each week, this innovative series brings to you insights, techniques, and best practices that help you lift your demand generation efforts and make a measurable impact on revenue in your organization. This week, I'm so pleased to have with us Andrew Gaffney, who's owner of G3 Communications, but really is best known for being publisher of the Demand Generation Report. There you are. You ready?
How are you, Debbie?
I am great. So I'm just going to kind of pick up. I kind of did a little pre-introduction, and then I'll just snip this part of the recording out, okay? So let me get going.
Okay.
So for all of you B2B marketers, the single most important asset that you have at your disposal today is something called the Demand Generation Report. And if you're not using it, you are really missing out on the single best asset to educate the B2B marketer in demand generation today. It is a brand new publication focusing exclusively on strategies, tactics, and measurements that are really central to generating the demand. The e-newsletter and the interactive website provide intellectual fuel to help you drive growth at leading B2C and also B2B companies. And one of the reasons I really like the information that Andrew puts out in the report is because it's heavily focused on metrics and it's heavily focused on measurement. And I think there's no other time in the history of the marketer where being able to show ROI and being able to show contribution to revenue is important. Everyone knows the kind of economy that we're in right now. So really what Andrew is going to share with us today is his thoughts around how do you not just survive as a B2B marketer leading the demand generation efforts, but actually how do you actually thrive in the kind of environment that we have today? So, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Debbie. Glad to be here.
Well, we're just so pleased to have you. And you and I were doing our pre-brief, and we were tossing around some ideas around topics to talk about. And, again, because you work so much in demand generation, there's so many topics that we could have talked about. But I really liked your idea of talking about the impact of the economy and what that has, kind of impact that has on the B2B marketer. So let me just start in with the first question. And as you go out and you interact with a lot of marketers and you talk about and you write about and you research demand generation, what kind of impact is the current economy having on demand generation in the B2B environment?
Yeah, I've been really surprised to see, particularly over the past 2 to 3 weeks with the stock market being so volatile and the credit crunch that has sort of ensued as a effect of that, it really is an extending ripple effect. I think, if for nothing else, I think it's definitely changed the dynamics of companies' customer bases. Some of the obvious effects are, sales cycles tend to get delayed and wind up to be a bit longer. But a lot of the buying needs in a lot of cases have changed where, people might have been 6 months ago more concentrated on, how to grow their business or how to try to find new ideas. There's a lot more concern around cost. So I think, messaging has changed a lot. I think it's just, a very smart time to reevaluate the kind of messaging you're doing and also being a lot more targeted about, how you're talking to existing customers as well as prospects.
So give us some examples. What are some things that you've seen or that you've heard that some of the leaders in demand generation are doing specifically to kind of ride out these times and maybe even take advantage of them?
I think the dichotomy between the folks that are, very sophisticated in their demand generation and have really taken a holistic approach to it, as opposed to companies that are, very early in the learning curve or have kind of done it piecemeal, I think the results you see are even more dramatic in this kind of economy and this kind of environment. There's less effect, I think, on the companies that already are, very good at online marketing, very good at doing targeting and segmentation, have a lot of automated campaigns. For the folks that, still do a good mix of traditional media and sort of aren't able to analyze their spend, it's a lot harder for them to deal with their CFO coming into the room and saying, look, it's in Q4, we need to drop 25% out of the budget. I need you to come back next week with a report on, where we can use our dollars most effectively. For the folks that don't really have their finger on that pulse on an ongoing basis, that's a lot more challenging. So what I've seen is a real, gap between the leaders that haven't really had as hard of a time dealing with that they can say, okay, well, I can go back to my most cost-effective marketing means, whether that be, search in their case or whether it be email campaigns or an e-newsletter that they may be doing to customers and prospects. But a lot of those folks really know and have a good handle and can work pretty closely with their sales teams on what their, low-cost marketing vehicles are and still keep feeding the pipeline without, a real interruption.
That's a great example to talk about the dichotomy. The people who are already doing demand generation, they're keeping on point. And the people that are earlier in stage, to your point, more traditional, are having a hard time kind of justifying more of a traditional marketing spend. So as you take a look at the leaders, the people who are and have been doing demand generation well for quite some time, are you seeing that they're being asked to make even more of an impact on revenue so that line between sales and marketing is even becoming a little bit more blurred than what it was before?
Yeah, I think what you do find is, particularly in, the tech sectors and people that are, have been earlier adopters of this and companies that have, SaaS models for software, they do have a very active, the marketing departments do have a very active role, and there is, a lot less of a sort of line in the sand between marketing and sales. Those folks tend to be very active in revenue creation. And I think what happens even in a more subtle sense is, if response rates are slowing to traditional campaigns, then the sales team, knows their marketing team is good enough to say, well, what else can we do? What other kind of creative ideas do you have that can keep different leads coming in, or what other things can we be doing to be smarter about, you know, sort of where to turn, what our messaging can be. So, you know, I think one of the real eye-openers for me, I was out at Eloqua's users event, and they give out awards to some of the you know, people that are doing really great jobs with marketing automation, called the Marquis Awards. And when you see that group assembled, you know, the real common denominator are these are really high-growth companies. And, you know, particularly in this economy, you know, fast-track companies are becoming more the exception than the rule. So when you see a stage of 10 different companies and 8 of them probably represent, you know, some of the fastest-growing companies in the whole B2B space, you know, really does speak to the fact that, you know, demand generation is consistent with, and I think a real important component in why those companies are able to, you know, have higher close rates and be able to be more effective from a sales perspective and drive revenue.
Again, that's a great point. And again, for those companies who already have built a demand generation competency and are actually contributing to the growth of revenue, you know, we're also seeing that those people are well protected in the current economy that we're in right now because they can show that contribution to revenue. Well, let me ask you a dollar and cents number because we get this question a lot as we go around and talk to different marketing organizations. How much are you seeing marketing budgets cut, or how much are you not seeing them being cut? I mean, if you were to put a percent on it and if you were to quantify what's happening to marketing budgets, what have you seen or observed?
You know, I think if I had to put a number sort of across the board, I'd probably say, you know, like a 10 to 15%, particularly right now in Q4. I think a lot of new spending or experimental spending has been put on hold. So, you know, if a company had $1 million budgeted for Q4 and, you know, 100,000 of it was viewed as a thing to experiment with some new platforms, new kinds of media. You know, a lot of cases, the boardroom or the CFO is saying, well, you know, let's hold off on that. So I think there is a real spread between companies. As you said, I think the companies that the demand generation portion of the marketing budget is substantial and it's feeding the pipeline and, you know, they really don't feel like they can afford to do without it. Some of those guys have seen no cuts at all. But I would say, you know, broadly, I think that there's been, you know, somewhere in the 10 to 15% cutback range, particularly here in Q4, as there's a lot of uncertainty, and I think it's having the biggest impact on what would be seen as sort of experimental spending.
Are you seeing those kind of cuts in those demand generation companies who are doing a good job impacting revenue as well?
No, as I said, and if I wasn't clear on it, I think that you see less of those cuts.
Okay.
And I think, again, where, you know, where they do cut, it tends to be on, you know, areas where maybe it's harder to measure and they feel like they can do without, you know, if you will. But
okay.
I think on the core lead gen programs where they can measure how it's impacting, you know, the top of the funnel and nurturing and, you know, the salespeople are, you know, in line with the results, then I think we've seen much fewer cuts.
Okay. Let's talk about that B2B marketer who's kind of a little bit in the middle. It'd be that marketer who maybe is just beginning. They're fairly new, perhaps doesn't have a whole lot of results in demand generation. I mean, they're just that new in it. What kind of advice would you give them to help position demand generation to the company as a way of helping them be able to survive in this current economic environment?
You know, the two pieces of advice that I really stress, and I had done it even prior to the economy becoming such a concern, was to try to identify some quick wins. You know, I think whether, you know, you have an idea of what your individual market and prospects tend to respond to, I think, even if you're earlier in the curve. So if for example, a B2B marketer had been doing email campaigns and was using an email service provider and wants to graduate to more of a formal, you know, lead gen marketing automation solution, I would suggest to figure out a way to integrate some of the email marketing you had been doing know some of the results you want to show, say, in a monthly campaign or a quarterly campaign. Identify those in advance so that you know that, okay, it's now almost November. In November, by adopting this free trial or working on an investment in this, I'm going to come back and show an uptick in responses. I'm going to be able to come back and show much greater intelligence around the activity of these prospects. You really need some tangible short-term results, and I think it's very achievable, too, with any of the marketing automation tools that are out there, to be able to come back and say, look, here's what I said we were going to do. Here's the short-term investment we've already made, and here's some of the fruits of that labor. The other thing that I would really suggest, and I've seen this in action, is if you can afford it, and typically you will be able to, again, justify it with short-term ROI, is to bring in a marketing consultancy, somebody that knows this space and practice, at least for sort of the first 6 months or a year. It's harder to justify adding staff, but I think if you can, and your company is obviously a great example of this, Debbie, but if you can bring in a company that's experienced in building campaigns and setting up the measurement tools, your chance of success is much greater. And I think, that's ultimately what, a CEO or a CFO is going to want to see, that, okay, Debbie promised me that we'll get more leads from this campaign. She produced it, and, I ultimately can see the excitement on my sales team's face because they now know so much more about their prospects.
I think that's excellent advice. You really have to kind of hunker down right now and think about what is important to the company. And right now, companies are looking for revenue. So as a demand generation team, if you can produce those quick wins, and also, of course, I really like your advice around bringing in experts who can help you take what would take you, 6, 7, 8, 9 months to do and do it for you in a matter of weeks. It just helps you be that much more productive that much sooner. So let me ask you kind of an opposite kind of question. If you were talking to a group of B2B marketers today, what would you tell them not to be doing in this current environment?
I would avoid the complex and the long term and the big investments. If you tell your team and your CEO that you're going to spend 6 figures and it's going to take 18 months and you're going to need a bigger staff, I think you're obviously putting yourself at risk and to some degree your company. So, I would try to, I hate to say avoid thinking long term, but I think you really need to look at what's measurable, look at what you can show quickly, and try to be smart about aligning what your company is already focused on and how you can quickly add to that. So I think you want to avoid thinking sort of in the classic marketing sense that, well, this is going to build brand and it's going to have softer value, and you need to be thinking about this as a longer-term investment, because it's just harder for any company to justify in this environment.
I completely agree with that. I mean, it's just all about the right now and in the environment that we're in right now. Well, again, Andrew, you talk to a lot of marketers, you meet a lot of marketers, you write a lot about what's going on in demand generation. What do you see as the major trends in the next, say, 3 to 6 months? What's coming that's kind of hot in demand generation?
I think a few things. One sort of win, and I think a surprise factor that I've seen people that have implemented and had success with demand generation is the level of intelligence that they gain about their existing customers and prospects. So, by being able to have a much better handle on website activity, who's responding to what different campaigns, and being able to track that, across multiple touches, it gives companies, I think, a much higher level of intelligence around, well, you know what? If we're seeing, much higher activity around an ROI white paper than we are on, how to implement, that then clearly people are more concerned about the cost factors and how to justify. So let's change our messaging because of that. Let's make sure our sales team is going out with this kind of intelligence and collateral. So I think, you know, in addition to being able to generate those leads and new names, it's really having much greater insights into how to communicate with existing customers, how to take that intelligence and then feed that out to new prospects. You know, on a similar level, when you know that you're getting a lot more CFOs visiting your site, a lot more CFOs coming to your webinars, then obviously the finance department is having more influence and interest in your solution. So do you talk to them more? Do you talk to them differently? And then I think the other related aspect of that is when you see a trend bubble up in maybe a new sector that all of a sudden the financial services industry is very interested in your solution, and you've seen 2 to 3 new prospects really heat up and their activity heat up, then obviously to get your sales team sort of redirected and refocused that, you know, maybe a year or two prior you felt like your solution wasn't right for them or ready for them, that seems to be changing pretty quickly, and being able to have the agility and the intelligence to respond to that, I think, is one of the real big wins of demand generation and marketing automation platforms. The other trends that I think that are, you know, sort of quickly on the horizon here, I think social media and integrating social media into your overall marketing, particularly your demand generation, your customer communications, is going to be critical. I think there are some companies that are doing a good job of getting out in front of that, and I think that's going to be potentially the next sort of game changer of how you listen to your audience and communicate them with them using social media, track trends, et cetera. And then finally, I think there's just much more integration around marketing and sales. I think the companies that are, you know, using their Salesforce.com or Siebel or whatever CRM system they're using and the marketing automation platforms they're using and building complementary widgets or tools that help either side have greater visibility into, you know, market intelligence and what's going on in the different sides of the pipeline is, again, another huge advantage. Being able to respond quickly to your prospects and changes in the market, I think, is another competitive advantage that fast-moving companies are seeing. Debbie, are you there? Did I lose you? Debbie, I'm not sure if we got cut off.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Hi, Debbie, how are you? Did I
lose
you?
Okay, I don't know what happened. I got muted for a second there, but I was just going to say, I mean, I think your trends are just absolutely right on. And we actually did some fundamental research over the summer and found some similar kinds of things. And the first one, the level of intelligence that you learn about prospects and customers and what you can do with that really can be a game changer for a lot of companies. We talked to a number of demand generation professionals over the summer who were actually in the process of using this intelligence. And it's almost an unexpected benefit of demand generation, but I think that is a great piece of insight. So it can tell you about whether to go into a new sector. It can tell you how to sell to customers. It just can tell you a whole lot of information. So I think that's a great trend. We're also, like you, Andrew, hearing a lot about social media, and people are finding more and more ways to integrate that into marketing. I actually was part of the online marketing summit over the summer, and social media was absolutely the buzz. Everybody wanted to know what they could do with it. And your last point around much more integration between marketing and sales, if I could just have you speak for a few more minutes about that, because it seems as though that's almost the number one issue in every organization that we work with is the not well-integrated processes between sales and marketing when it comes to demand generation. And it would seem to me that in the current economic environment that we're in, they're either going to get closer or they're going to get further apart. So if I could have you speak for just a few more comments around that integration.
Yeah, I just don't see any scenario where a company can be successful where they're not integrated. I think the immediacy of the web and the changing buying cycles, particularly in B2B markets, just absolutely dictates that sales and marketing are going to have to work from the same page and be absolutely aligned. When you look at companies that are very sophisticated in demand generation, they have processes and measurements for every phase of the buying process, or whether you look at it from the sales and marketing funnel. So when there's a disconnect and the sales team is just sort of waiting for leads to be handed that are sort of ready to go close, it's just not reality anymore. So I think customers expect to be able to have buyers expect information to be readily available to them. They want to do some of their own research in the early phases. And then once they do want to engage, they expect a lot of information to be available. So they want intelligence and knowledge to be easily transferred throughout the buying cycle. And I think that requires collaboration between marketing and sales. So it's no longer a case where marketing just drives that initial engagement and, okay, I got this company to raise their hand, now you go sell them. And it's no longer a case where the salesperson just says, well, okay, tell me who my leads are this quarter. It's really much more of a collaborative approach to, okay, where should we be focusing our efforts together? How should our messaging be changing? And the really smart and sophisticated companies are adapting to how that changes at each phase of the funnel. I mean, you're changing your outbound campaigns and messages to get people to raise their hands and then, having a set of parameters to qualify them into real, inquiries and qualified leads. And then sales, works with marketing, keeps marketing informed in terms of what else they may need to nurture and keep that prospect interested and engaged throughout the funnel. And ultimately, I think marketing is much more involved deeper in the funnel. They are, really proven to be a real asset for sales teams. So I think particularly the executives, and I think it's much more common in newer companies that have started up and grown up in the Web 2.0 environment, they realize that the web is going to be their first point of contact with a lot of new customers. So they understand that the marketing, the people that are creating that messaging need to be working hand-in-hand with their sales team. And knowing that and sort of starting from the ground up, I think it creates and fosters that kind of environment where, the two really need to work together throughout the engagement process. And then, finally, what I had talked to some marketers about recently was I really they talk in school about sort of the four P's of marketing around product and placement and price, et cetera. I see sort of the four R's really driving the future of marketing, particularly B2B marketing, and I think that's, from fundamental around, response and results, but it's also around, relationships and ROI. I think the marketing department, where, again, it used to be that we were just responsible for, driving names and driving the database, marketing really could and should be talking to existing customers and finding out what some of their pain points are and finding out how to use that in their messaging and finding out how they've used the company's solutions, in a live scenario and how they can translate that to prospects. So I think the role of marketing has changed, and for the smart sales team, they realize that and are really making them a partner.
Completely agree with all of those comments, and yet time and time again we find marketers in early phases of demand generation, this is one of the hardest things for them to really begin to embrace and to make happen. But again, the most successful companies in demand generation have an awesome working relationship with sales. So completely agree. Loved those comments.
And
so
I think the thing you'll see, Debbie, which I'm starting to see more of, it's a real competitive differentiator now. So if you take 10 companies that provide some kind of HR outsourcing, if 5 or 6 of them get this and have been doing it for a while, they are typically eating the lunch of the companies that have disconnected marketing and sales and aren't doing sort of the right sort of funnel approach. So I think the companies that may not get it yet, they're going to feel the pain of this economy a lot more, and they're going to start to lose share, and really it's going to become much more of a competitive necessity quickly.
Completely agree, and I think it is a great tool. If you are already sharp and dedicated and on game with demand generation, it's a huge competitive differentiator for you. So I think that's a great comment too. Well, as we close, Andrew, tell us a little bit about the Demand Gen Report and how our listeners can access it.
Okay, Demand Gen Report, which I think I appreciate you setting up in the beginning. I launched it as an online publication. My background is in different areas of B2B marketing. I've done a lot in technology, and over the years I've done a lot with print magazines. What I'm trying to do now is really being able to respond to information gathering in a different way and be more nimble and provide everything online for the convenience factor. And most of the research I've seen has shown that's becoming the preferred way. So there's a weekly e-newsletter that is free to qualified marketers that can sign up for at demandgenreport.com. And then we also have a pretty good library of research data that we make available to our readers. There's white papers and different industry studies. We work with a lot of the analyst firms to make some of their top-line data available. So we're really trying to make it sort of a one-stop information source where you can get best practices, see what trends are emerging, and help become, you know, one of the leaders in the space, help your company become one of the leaders in the space.
And, again, I highly recommend it. I read it every single week, and it is just a fabulous place to go to get yourself educated and up to date. Lots of ideas, lots of practical things that you can use in the Demand Gen Report as well. So, again, I highly recommend it. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing some ideas and some tips or tricks or some do's or some do-nots for these B2B marketers in this tough economic time. And we look forward to receiving our next issue of Demand Gen Report.
Thank you very much, Debbie. I enjoyed the conversation.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Take care.